Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. 4 days before Jesus was crucified, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds gathered around and placed palm branches on the street and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." That day, Jesus rode on a donkey, symbolizing humility and contrition, showing that he was the blameless, spotless lamb that was willing to give his life so the peoples of the world could be reconciled to God. Palm branches symbolize victory. In Revelation 9:7, John describes a vision of those who have come out of great tribulation and gained the victory over sin and death. John writes, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day triumphantly, with the people shouting, "Hosanna." But 4 days later, they were crying, "Crucify him." Let's note how the gospel writer Mark describes their actions. "But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Will you that I release unto you the King of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he would release Barabbas unto them, rather than Jesus. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, 'What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews?' And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' Then Pilate said unto them, 'Why, what evil has he done?' And they cried out the more exceedingly, 'Crucify him.' And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. After his triumphant ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sabbath, Jesus came into the temple area each day to teach. On one of these days, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and asked him what would be the sign of his coming in the end of the age. The scene is described in Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, 'See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.' And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?'" Actually, it's not the end of the world. The Greek is aeon, the end of the age. In the next several verses, Jesus gives the disciples the signs of the end of this age and his coming. He quickly gives them an overview of some of the most significant events that will be occurring at the end of this present evil age. One thing you must keep in mind is that the Hollywood version of the end of the world is not accurate. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth triumphantly, as described in Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, not a donkey, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war." This time he's not coming as a humble, contrite one who is ready to die for the sins of the world. He is coming back, as we shall see, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads down the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This present evil age is going to end, and a new age of love, joy, and peace is going to begin here on earth, with Christ and the saints ruling over the earth. Jesus Christ is going to come again, and God is going to make us kings and priests, and we shall rule on the earth, Revelation 5:10. This period of time is called the millennial reign of Christ and the saints. Human life will continue during this time, and all nations will have an opportunity to come to know the true God in Jesus Christ. Note how the prophet Isaiah describes this time. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days. And that prophetic utterance, the last days, is that period of time in which this present evil age merges into that glorious time that is coming, the millennial age, the reign of Christ and the saints. And the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. In the plaza, in the United Nations buildings there in New York City, there is a statue of a man beating swords into plowshares, a sword into plowshares, and that is the avowed goal of the United Nations. But the United Nations or any human effort will never bring about peace and prosperity upon the earth. Only the kingdom of God is going to bring peace and prosperity to the sons of men. Now note some of the signs that Jesus gave the disciples concerning the end of this age and his second coming to the earth. In Matthew 24, verse 4, And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And there are hundreds of denominations at the present time, all of them claiming to be true messengers of God and Christ. But in order for you to really know whether or not a person is a true messenger of God and Christ, you must open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself. One of the great tests is given by Isaiah in Isaiah 8, verse 20. If they speak not according to the law and testimony, it is because there is no truth in them. Or as the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, writes in 1 John 2, verse 4. He that says he knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So Matthew continues, Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. And the title of this program is War at the Door. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in different places. And we can see all of these things accelerating on the face of the earth today among the peoples of the world. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Yes, if you're going to really be true to the Word of God, you will not be popular. You will not be praised in the courts of the land, because in the courts of the land they exalt that which is evil. They give awards to those things that are abominable in the sight of God, as evidenced last night when we television showed the Globe Awards in Hollywood. Jesus Christ goes on to say in verse 15, When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. The placing of the abomination of desolation marks the beginning of the great tribulation, because as it says in Matthew 24 and 21, then shall there be great tribulation. When? After the abomination of desolation is placed. There shall be great tribulation such as never was, no, nor ever shall be on the face of the earth thereafter. World events are rapidly moving to the time in which the abomination of desolation will be set up, and one will sit in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God. This one will be a deceiver energized by Satan the devil. And according to the Apostle John, everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived into worshiping him. Note John's description of this in Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. At the present time, world leaders are wringing their hands over what to do with Iran's determination to go ahead with its nuclear program. The Washington Times reports that on Monday of this week, China and Russia agreed with the United States, Britain, Germany, and France that Iran must completely suspend its nuclear program. However, they stopped short on agreeing that Iran's recalcitrant position on developing enriched uranium be brought before the UN Security Council. Iran greeted the outcome of this meeting by vowing to stop the tough UN inspections of its atomic program and fully resume sensitive nuclear fuel work if its case is referred to the Security Council. The Post goes on to report that Russian President Vladimir Putin offered a glimmer of hope for a compromise. Putin said the Iranian government was considering a proposal from Moscow that Russia would produce enriched uranium for Iran to ensure the material could be used only for peaceful purposes. However, in view of the recent rhetoric by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who has called for Israel to be wiped off the map, and the fact that the Iranian government ordered the removal of seals on equipment for producing enriched uranium, the prospects of diplomatic resolutions appear to be very unlikely. President Ahmadinejad has injected a religious dimension into Iran's recalcitrant position. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll explore this recalcitrant position of Iran more and also discuss the religious dimension that Ahmadinejad has injected into the equation. War is at the door. More and more we hear about Iran and its saber rattling. And also we read of the concern as the Western nations wring their hands wondering what to do about Iran. The Western nations are in somewhat of a dilemma because on the one hand, all the nations of the world want Iran to stop its development of nuclear energy because they fear it might be made into nuclear bombs, but yet at the same time they want the oil from Iran, especially China. So Russia and China have sided to some degree with Iran, but Russia, on the other hand, is sort of a middleman and saying that they want Iran to stop, but they don't want to bring Iran to the Security Council. All of these things are going on and being played out right before your eyes at the present time. Are you really discerning the times? Are you aware of what's going on? If not, then you need to subscribe to the Good News Magazine, a magazine that will keep you abreast of world events. And also, we will send you an article titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? This magazine, the Good News Magazine, and also this article will help you understand the times in which we are living. All you have to do to receive a free subscription to the Good News Magazine and to receive the article, Are We Living in the Last Days, is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem before he was crucified, meek, lowly, and humble, riding on a donkey. The people cried out, Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then a few days later, they were crying out, Crucify him. We've also seen in the first segment of our program from Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 15, that Jesus Christ is coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We also know that just before Jesus Christ was crucified, he told his disciples privately on the Mount of Olives signs that would take place, events that would take place before his coming in the end of this age. And one of the main signs had to do with war and rumors of war and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And we're seeing these events fulfilled right before our eyes at the present time. At the present time, the world is so concerned about Iran and the stance it's taking on the development of nuclear material, which the Western world fears will be used for making an atomic bomb that could be used on Israel and also upset the world to such a point that it would be plunged into World War III. At the same time, the new president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has injected a spiritual dimension into the equation that is quite frightful. This religious dimension is characterized to some degree by a speech that he gave at the United Nations back in November and what he said about it. In November, the country, that is Iran, was startled by a video showing Mr. Ahmadinejad telling a cleric that he had felt the hand of God entrancing world leaders as he delivered a speech to the UN General Assembly last September. In a video distributed by Iranian website in November, Ahmadinejad described how one of the Iranian colleagues had claimed to have seen a glow of light around the president as he began his speech to the UN. "I felt it myself too," Ahmadinejad recounts. Quote, "I felt that all of a sudden the atmosphere changed, and for 27 to 28 minutes all the leaders did not blink. It's not an exaggeration, because I was looking. They were astonished. If a hand held them there and made them sit, it had opened their eyes and ears for the message of the Islamic Republic," end of quote. On the other hand, Western officials said the real reason for any open-eyed stares from delegates was, quote, "they couldn't believe what they were hearing from Ahmadinejad." Western leaders' suspicion is that Iran's president actually relishes a clash with the West in the conviction that it would rekindle the spirit of the Islamic Revolution and, who knows, speed up, quote, "the arrival of the hidden Iman." Ahmadinejad's religious fervor is motivated by his devotion to the hidden Iman, the Messiah-like figure of Shiite Islam, and his belief that his government must prepare the country for the return of the Iman. One of the aspects of the world's current religious scene that I've informed you of several times in recent broadcasts is that the world's major religions are all looking for a great spiritual leader to come on the scene and lead the world into a new age of peace and prosperity. Buddhism is looking for the fifth Buddha. Hinduism is looking for Krishna. Islam is looking for the Grand Mahdi, also known as the 12th Mahdi. Judaism is looking for a Messiah. New Agers are looking for Maitreya. Christians are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. With the world's religions filled with this kind of fervent expectation, it is not too difficult to see how Satan the devil can use these expectations in deceiving the world into believing that the Antichrist is the fulfillment of their expectation. Make no mistake about it, one world religion is coming on the face of the earth and it's going to be enforced by Satan and his agents. You can read about it clearly in Revelation chapter 13. And everyone who does not receive the number and the name of the beast, the mark of the beast, they are going to be killed. And if you don't receive it, you can't buy and sell. And at the same time, those who receive this, they are going to worship this deceiver, the pseudo-Messiah. One of the first acts of Ahmadinejad's government was to donate about 10 million pounds to the Jamkaran Mosque, a popular pilgrimage site that's about 65 miles southwest of Tehran, where Islamic zealots come to drop messages to the hidden Iman in a holy well. All sects of Islam believe in a divine savior known as the Mahdi, who will appear at the end of days. Iran's dominant Twelver sect believes this will be Muhammad ibn Hassan, regarded as the 12th Iman, or righteous descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. He is said to have gone into occlusion in the 9th century at the age of 5. His return will be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, and bloodshed. After a cataclysmic confrontation with evil and darkness, the Mahdi will lead the world to an era of universal peace. Ahmadine Hadd apparently believes that these events are close at hand and that ordinary mortals can influence the divine timetable. The Christian Science Monitor, December 21, 2005, quotes Hamadreza Taraghi, head of the Conservative Islamic Coalition Society. Taraghi says, "What Ahmadine Hadd believes is Iran has to create a model state based on Islamic democracy to be given to the world, and the government accepts this role for themselves," end quote. The Monitor goes on to report that any possibility of detente with the U.S. may also be in jeopardy if the U.S.-Iran conflict is cast in Mahdaviyat terms, that is, religious terms. That view holds that the U.S., with quasi-religious declarations of transforming the Middle East with democracy and justice, deploying military forces across the region, and developing a new generation of nuclear weapons, is arrogantly trying to assume the role of Mahdi. In the Monitor article, titled "Waiting for the Rapture in Iran," Taraghi goes on to say, "A top priority of Ahmadine Hadd is to challenge America, which is trying to impose itself as the final salvation of the human being and insert its unjust state in the region." Taraghi says the U.S. is trying to place itself as the new Mahdi. This may mean no peace with Iran, he adds, unless America changes its goal of dominating that area of the world. A common rumor denied by the government but widely believed is that Ahmadine Hadd and his cabinet have signed a contract pledging themselves to work for the return of the Mahdi and sent it to Jamkaran. In contrast to Western leaders who may give lip service to religion, Islamic leaders are filled with messianic zeal and ready to go to the wall to fulfill their beliefs. Iran has made several threats against the U.S. and the West in recent months. This week, Iran stepped up its defiance of international pressure over its nuclear program. Davood Danish Jafari told Iranian state radio that possible sanctions from the West disturbed Iran's political and economic situation, could raise oil prices beyond levels that would have grave consequences. Iran is the world's fourth largest oil producer. In another move this week, Iran has announced plans to convene a scientific, quote, scientific conference to examine the evidence supporting the Holocaust. The news comes weeks after Ahmadine Hadd provoked a global outcry by describing the slaughter of 6 million Jews by the Nazis in the Second World War as a myth. Iran apparently believes that she has the U.S. boxed into a corner. If the U.S. leads a move to bring Iran to the U.S. Security Council that results in sanctions being imposed on her, she will then cut off oil imports to the West. Western nations are to a large degree dependent upon oil from the region, and Iran knows that American troops are tied up in Iraq, and thus is apparently not concerned about a U.S.-led invasion on her soil. Couple this with the fact that Russia and China formed an alliance and warns the West that they must not deal too harshly with Iran. So it is not too difficult to see the dilemma that Western leaders are faced with. There is not much hope that diplomatic efforts will bear fruitful results, since Russia and China are basically on Iran's side, although Russia says that Iran must give up her nuclear program. Military action will be difficult with the U.S. tied up in Iraq. Some analysts believe that some of Iran's nuclear facilities are buried deep beneath the Earth's surface, and that even extensive bombing raids would not reach these underground plants. So apparently the ball is in Israel's court. Claude Salani, UPI International editor, reported on January the 11th of this year that Israel's Chief of General Staff, Lieutenant General Dan Halut, said Iran's nuclear program can, quote, can be destroyed. If Israel should make such a move, the world would doubtlessly be brought to the brink of World War III. The whole Islamic world would rise up in arms against Israel, and Russia and China would probably lend their support to Iran and other Islamic nations who would be incensed over such a move. Bible prophecy makes it clear that eventually the nations of the world will come against Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be saved by God's direct intervention. We see this in Zechariah chapter 12 and in verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the peoples of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, says the Eternal, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And Zechariah goes on to tell how that God is going to intervene. And in verse 9 of Zechariah 12, the prophet says, And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, Jesus Christ, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Yes, true conversion is going to come to the nation of Israel and eventually to all the peoples of the world. They're going to recognize who the true Messiah really is. The world is poised for more war, and more war is sure to come, just as Jesus prophesied from the Mount of Olives just before he was crucified. This year, 2006, will be one of the most pivotal years in human history. Are you ready for the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, to return to this earth? Or will you be deceived by false Christs who parade as pseudo-messiahs? Now is the time to seek God while he may be found before the prophesied famine of the hearing of the word comes on the earth. I leave you today with the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 6. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God says that now is the time to seek him. And he says in Isaiah 55:13, Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Yes, God is going to come back, and he is going to restore the nation of Israel, and is also going to give all nations an opportunity to repent. And you can be among the first fruits in the first resurrection, and you will go out as emissaries to help the nations understand who the true God really is and bring them into the Israel of God. Yes, the true Messiah is going to come back to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just as God, who cannot lie, has promised. So seek him while he may be found. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We'll send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine and the article, Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. The number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, it's 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.